The first round of presidential elections in Tunisia saw a law professor, Kais Saied, and a detained media mogul, Nabil Karoui, going to the second round. It was the second free presidential election since the 2011 ouster of former autocratic president Zeno El Abidine Ben Ali. The turnout was 45%, much lower than the 2014 vote. The election is an example of successful democratic transition. The country has been described as the only democracy that came out of the Arab Spring uprisings that interestingly began in Tunisia in 2011 before spreading across the Middle East and North Africa. Can Tunisia become a model for other Arab nations? And what does this result mean for the country, especially its economy? These questions and more in tonight's debate. But before that, let's watch a background report.
On September 15, Tunisians went to the polls to choose a new leader. That was their second free presidential elections since the 2011 ouster of former autocratic president Zine El Abidine Ben Ali. As fate would have it, he died just days after the vote in exile in Saudi Arabia at the age of 83. The election featured 26 candidates from across the political spectrum, including the defense minister and prime minister, whose popularity has been tarnished by a sluggish economy and rising cost of living. At the end, two political outsiders, law professor Kais Saied and imprisoned media mogul Nabil Karoui, went through to a second round of voting.
Of course, since no single candidate received more than 50% of the votes, a second round of presidential elections will be held in which the candidates with the highest number of votes will compete, and they are Mr. Kais Saied and Mr. Nabil Karoui.
The result marked a major upset for Tunisia's political establishment, but would have been inconceivable during Ben Ali's era. Tunisians have enjoyed a much smoother march toward democracy than citizens of other Arab states that also rose up in 2011. Yet the people in the North African country continue to grapple with growing concerns, including economy. In recent years, Tunisia's national debt has reached 70% of the national GDP, inflation has risen to 6.7%, and the official unemployment rate has remained high at 15.5%. Add to that terror attacks on popular tourist destinations that have devastated the once booming tourism sector. Having said all that, the fledgling North African democracy still enjoys a unique position, attested by the peaceful run-up to the election. In a region where dictators and monarchs reign supreme, and where there are either no elections at all or there are sham elections, Tunisia has held televised presidential debates. That in itself is a first in the Arab world. Compare that to Egypt, for example, where all of the credible candidates in the country's presidential election last year were arrested or driven out, paving the way for another easy win for its autocratic leader, Abdel Fattah al-Sisi. Or compare that to the Persian Gulf Arab countries, where lifetime rulers and monarchs pull all the strings. Now, as the Tunisians gear up for a second and final round to elect their new president, the question is how much will their free-flowing democratic and electoral process inspire their Arab peers, and how far they are willing to go to enjoy the same achievement.
Joining us on tonight's debate, we have co-founder of the Democratic Current Party, Mr. Ahmed Bouazizi, joining us from Tunis, also author and former diplomat. Michael Springman is joining us from Washington, D.C. Gentlemen, welcome to the program. Let's start off with Mr. Bouazizi. Two political outsiders will compete in a runoff vote to become Tunisia's next president after they topped the first round of voting. What does this say about the young democracy in Tunisia? Mr. Bouazizi, are you with us? All right, unfortunately, I believe we do not have that connection established just yet. Let's cross over to our guest, Michael Springman, who's with us from D.C. I'm going to put the same question to you, Mr. Springman. What does this all say about the young democracy in Tunisia?
Well, I think it shows a remarkable amount of strength for a country that has had a succession of long-term presidents and people who were ousted as part of the Arab Spring a few years back. I think if they can cast aside 24 or 25 or 26 establishment candidates, including former presidents and prime ministers and defense secretaries, I think that they've done something remarkable, and that they are fed up with the establishment, much like the United States, because the folks who have been in power for years have really done nothing of major significance, have not really done anything about the 15% unemployment rate higher in some regions, and a 30% cost of living increase over the last few years. So I think if they can toss these people out and turn to relative unknowns who are yet are solidly grounded, a university law professor and a media mogul who runs a charity on the side, I think they've done a remarkable job.
All right, let's bring in our guest in Tunis, Mr. Ahmed Bouazizi. Mr. Bouazizi, if you're with us, why is this election significant?
My name is Bouazizi, not Bouazizi. And this election is really very special because the Prime Minister, the Minister of Defense, former Prime Minister, the former President, they all candidates, but they all were out because young people has a lot of expectation, and they didn't get anything since 8 years. So they voted for a professor of law who is independent and who is honest. And he's proposing a new manner to govern, especially he want to make a reform to the constitution. And so we have more hope with this guy than with the oldest that they tried and they didn't get from them anything. The second in the election is a populist who was giving food for poor people and during 3 years, and in that way people there, they know only him as somebody who is taking care of them, and they voted for him because the other candidates, they are seen on the TV screen or here on the radio, but they don't go to them and they don't shake hands with them, and they don't especially give them some macaroni, some olive oil, and so. And this, the big battle now is the second session, and the second this guy is he's not, he doesn't pay his taxes, he make money laundering, he put his money in Luxembourg and in Morocco, and there is a complaint against him, and now he's in jail, but he's candidate anyway, and this is the second problem. So we this election is really very special.
All right, Mr. Springman, we have lifetime kings, rulers, and presidents in many Arab countries. There's political turmoil, for instance, in Sudan and Algeria over power transitions. Do you think that the democracy in Tunisia can inspire and can set a precedent for the future of Arab countries?
I think they can. I think they've shown to date that they are not concerned with tradition, with history, with people who are connected to the establishment. They're looking for outsiders, looking for new blood, looking for fresh faces, looking for fresh ideas. And I think if this, they can bring this off with a, another good election, as it seems so far that they've managed, I think it can be an inspiration to Algeria and to other countries, such as the Sudan, where the Saudis are a long-time traditional ruler and absolute monarchy have been meddling. So I think that a peaceful transition, a successful transition, which is very unusual anywhere in the Arab world, would be a shining light unto the rest of the people in the Arab world, saying, look, if we can do it, you can do it. It's a matter of choosing the right people and giving them a chance to go do and talk to the electorate, and not simply rely on state-run television and state-run media and state-run elections.
Mr. Bouazizi, do you think the mistrust of the political establishment runs high in Tunisia? The result does mark a blow for the political establishment, including for the prime minister and for the former interim president, Moncef Marzouki, who both failed to progress in the runoff.
I think young people are fed up with the establishment. They are trying something else. And this is only possible by democracy. And Moncef Marzouki, nobody can trust him to manage correctly the state. And they tried him for 3 years, and he's not. They concluded that he's not the right guy for now. And the other prime ministers, two prime ministers and two former ministers, and the present minister of defense, all of them, they are marked as part of the establishment. And this new young, really, they are 18, 25 years, and they are both voting together using social media to be in contact with each other and to orient their votes.
Michael Springman, both of the front runners, though far apart from one another, were seen as outsiders in this election. Did they draw in the anti-system votes from an electorate that's unhappy with the status quo in Tunisia?
I would think so. They had a low voter turnout in this past election of some 45%. And I think people have said that they are disillusioned with what's been happening so far, and they were voting for the future of Tunisia, and that they were voting for their children, and that they wanted to see real change and real progress, and not rely on simple words and people with connections running the show.
Mr. Bouazizi, this election is the second free presidential poll since the 2011 uprising that toppled longtime ruler Zine El Abidine Ben Ali and, in fact, started the Arab Spring. But that trend didn't necessarily thrive in other Arab and North African countries following the uprising. Why is that?
I think it's a character of the Tunisian people. And now all other peoples are watching us, and they are waiting for the results. And the comments on foreign TVs, we see them, they are more optimistic, especially young social society in the Arab countries. They are watching us, and they are waiting, and they hope that they will get the same democratic transition in their countries.
Michael Springman, how does Tunisia compare to the other countries affected by the uprisings and revolutions in the Middle East and North Africa? Tunisia has won much praise as being the only democracy to emerge from those uprisings.
Well, next door in Algeria, you've got a power struggle going on. You've got, in the past, they had a duly elected Muslim-oriented government, more fundamentalist than some other countries. And suddenly the military, with the American support, took over and threw out the legitimate government because they didn't like the results. So I think that in Tunisia, showing that you can have a change without use of the army, without use of outside influence such as America or France, would be a good thing for the rest of the Arab world, to show that it can be done, and that the dictator Sisi in Egypt and the brutal monarchs of Saudi Arabia and the Gulf states are yesterday's people, and that the future lies with change and casting aside of hoary, repressive, and overly controlling tradition.
Mr. Bouazizi, as we know, parliamentary elections are also scheduled for early October in Tunisia. If I'm correct, they're considered even more important than the presidential vote because they would produce the next prime minister of the country. Could we be seeing the start of a new trend in Tunisia?
Maybe, because we are not sure until we see the results. Because the most difficult problem in Tunisia, that in 2011, they threw out the president, the dictator, but the establishment took back the country and took back the state, and they continued the same politics, the same policy, the same differences between rich and poor, the same differences between richer regions and poorer ones, and the young people, they don't have less, don't have more employment, and they took back. But now, people, they want new leaders and to manage the state, and they are not going to vote for older parties. But we don't know exactly how will be the composition of the new assembly, the new parliament. But we think that it will be a mosaic of many parties, and no one will be able to form a stable government. And maybe this situation, if there is not a good coalition, big coalition with a big majority, the parliament will be dissolved after 1 or 1 year and a half.
Michael Springman, your thoughts on the issue with more elections in the coming weeks. Could this be the start of the shakeup of politics in Tunisia?
I think it will, and I also think that the establishment may well fight very hard to keep control of parliament, since the leader of the parliament is the fellow who controls domestic affairs, with the power on the foreign policy, defense, and national security in the hands of the president. You may set up a power struggle between the old guard and the new guard. But as the distinguished gentleman in Tunis said, that remains to be seen. We have to see what the elections will bring. It would be very hopeful, in fact, if the old guard loses out in the parliamentary elections as well.
Mr. Bouazizi, one last question for you. Let's say if a new government is formed in Tunisia, explain for us and our viewers what are some of the challenges that this new government will be facing.
I think the first challenge is to stabilize the monetary problems, to stabilize the trade balance, to work on the employment. These are the first really three axes that they have to go. But we have also to bring a new way to manage the economy, and the struggle, the big struggle against the corruption, because our government is corrupted, our establishment is corrupted, and there is a lot of corruption in the administration, and we don't think that it is possible to invest any cent if this corruption continues. So the really first act will be to try to stop, to decrease the corruption, and to make a reform to the administration to make the investment possible, especially in the poor regions.
Michael Springman, your final thoughts on the issue. What do you see in terms of the future of affairs for a new government in Tunisia? Do you have a lot of optimism for it, specifically when it comes to the economy?
I do. I think it's a hard nut to crack. It's going to be a very difficult thing to deal with, as the distinguished gentleman had said. But if you can solve the issue of unemployment, if you can solve the issue of runaway inflation, you will immediately make the lives of the people better. And you will, because they are better, because they've seen this as the direct result of government action with a new leadership in place, it will strengthen the democracy, it will strengthen the ability of the country to deal with its own internal problems. And once that is solved, once the internal situation is settled and under control, then there's really no stopping what will happen, how effective change will be for the future. And I can see only improvement if they can get a hold of unemployment and if they can get a hold of inflation.
Well, that's it with this edition of the debate here on Press TV. Thanks to co-founder of the Democratic Current Party, Ahmed Bouazi, joining us from Tunis. And also thanks to author and former diplomat Michael Springman, joining us from Washington, D.C. Gentlemen, thank you for sharing your thoughts with us here on tonight's debate. Also thanks to your viewers for staying with us throughout the program. It's good night, everybody.